You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show this week in WordPress and SaaS. This is episode 934. Unbelievable, I know. And you've been listening to this podcast for quite a while. Please tell other people about the podcast. That would be really appreciated. In this show, we've got a great friend of the show, a great WordPress entrepreneur and WordPress community member and supporter. We have Jewel in the house. Jewel is the founder of WP Manage Ninja. They do Fluent Forms, Fluent CRM, and a host of other fantastic WordPress plugins. In this podcast, we're going to be discussing Jewel's journey, how he got into WordPress, how he managed to build his team to over 100 people. And also, his business is mostly based in Bangladesh. I'm going to be asking him about that. And a host of other fantastic questions. So, Jewel, would you like to quickly do a quick intro to the listeners and viewers?
Hi, everyone. So, I am Jewel. Mainly, I'm a software developer. And for last 8 years, we are building WordPress plugins, especially for small businesses. So all of our products are actually to help the small businesses. And currently, we are powering around 1 million websites in the total with plugins we have. It's a long journey. And I would like to share my experiences with you guys.
Yeah, it's like I say, you've got a real WordPress entrepreneur here in the house. So I'm sure there's going to be some great insights and it'd be well worth listening to this podcast. I've got my great co-host with me, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Sure. Kurt Von Annen, owner of Mañana No Más, primarily focused on membership and learning websites. We also work directly with WP Tonic and the great folks at Lifter LMS.
Yeah, Kirk does a great job with WP Tonic. Before we go into this fantastic interview, we got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
We're coming back, folks. I also like to point out that we got some great special offers from our major sponsors, plus a curated list of the best WordPress plugins and services, and a lot else. You can get all these free goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals. And you'll find quite a few of Jewel's plugins on that list. That's good news for us and good news for Jewel. So let's go straight into it. So Jewel, how did you get into web development, and specifically, what was your initial journey into WordPress? Maybe you can give us some insights there.
Yeah, definitely. So, it's a very long story, actually. So I started my web development back to 2009. So then I just started my undergrad in the university. And then I learned about the programming and everything. And then I see that I really love, programming. I really understand it very good. And then, I thought, like, okay, we have many websites. I'm browsing internet. How I can build a website for me? And to be honest, I had no idea how those things work. And then, I found, like, Blogspot, and then I built a website. But the problem is, actually, I cannot customize. I don't know how these things work, because you cannot customize those things. You cannot see the code, everything. So that was like a Google service. And then I discovered WordPress. I think like after 5-6 months, once I, started programming and everything, and they see that I can actually install on my, computer, and then I can, see the code, few things here and there, build website, theme and everything. So that was the first starting. And when I am like third year, fourth year of my university, so in that time, I was like, doing programming all the way. And in the fourth year, I started my first company, and that company was actually like agency. And we, in that, agency, that was also got pretty big. Like, we had 25 members in that, my first company. And we are working with different, nonprofit organization, banks, health sector. And we are providing them all the development services, from here. And that was really pretty good. And then I exit at 16 from that company. So I started with my friends there. And I exit that company and I started this new company. The goal was, the new company was actually like the service company. That was really good. We were doing really great. The problem is actually the service company, that was, for me, it was really hard. I have to manage all, multiple projects at a time. And then, after 1 year or 6 months, I have to switch another project and the whole new thing. So I realized that, like, I am, doing all this, projects, but ultimately I am not, creating a value for long term. Then I thought, okay, so what about, like, I was working, WordPress for, for last 6-7 years, and I really understand WordPress. And also I understand the market. I understand the people, what they need actually. So why not, invest my time and resources to build the product? So then I started,
I ask you, at that stage, how large was the company? How many employees did you have?
So when I started,
when you was looking at maybe a product, what stage were you at?
When I started WMNI Ninja, that was like, we only have 3 people in the team. So me, one of my friend, and another person who is not technical. He was just, managing things. Like, we had an apartment, so he was just managing the apartment, shopping, grocery, and those type of thing. So those are 3 person. We started the company, and then, we did not have, mass, I did not have mass savings in that company. So I still had to work on few client project to fund my, product. And then actually started, developing product. So after 1.5 years, my first, WordPress product, that was Ninja Table. So that we released that product, and that was
it was the table product that you released.
That's a table product. And then, we are working really hard on that. People who are using, I think in a couple of months we got like 5,000 active installations, and people are asking like, I need this feature. I need this feature, and some people started email us like, okay, it's really helpful. Can I donate money or something? As you don't have any pro version or anything, so they're really inspired. Like, okay, now it's a very good thing. Like, we can now, build a pro premium version and offer that. So that was the very first product, And then we started, working with people like what product we can build. And from the very first, we chose a very specific segment of the market, overall market. And that is like, we want to only, solve the business problems. We will not go to the design thing or theming business or not anything. We will just, solve the business that's a small business need. So that's why, we build the, Fluent CRM, Fluent Forms, and all the Fluent ecosystem. So currently, what we are actually working, like building an ecosystem. So you can say with the Fluent ecosystem, you can, run your online business. That's, our goal.
So you started off with the table plugin and you got traction. And then what was the second?
So our second product was, Fluent Forms. So that was the second product.
So how long was it before Fluent Forms was pushed to market after tables?
So we worked one and a half year on that product before. It was a long journey. And
I was going to say that was quite short, not long.
Are you aware that Gutenberg is a 10-year project?
That's you must have read my mind, Kirk. But I'm getting enough flack for my comments as it is. So now, how large was it? Still a rather small team when you were looking at Fluent Forms,
when we launched Fluent Forms, I think we had 15 people in the team.
So you had grown quite a bit from 3 to 15 in less than 2 years, is that correct?
In less than 2 years, we got 15. The thing is actually the team grew a lot in the COVID time. So when we started work from home in the COVID, that time we had 25 to 30 people. I can't remember exactly. And after 1.5 years after COVID, when you open our office, then I see that people are 60 now. And we hired all these people within this, COVID time. I did not know many people. The first time I am meeting with them face to face.
I understand that, but I thought when did you launch Fluent Forms? I thought it was a couple years before COVID.
So that was 2019, and that's There has a sad story actually with the Fluent Forms, because when we launched Fluent Forms, so we thought we are making a very good product, 1.5 years with all the engineering excellence, everything, all the modern technologies and everything. So I thought people will love it. And after releasing.
This is blowing me away. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry, Kurt. We'll probably take up the whole first half of this. Are you okay with this, Kurt?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You can butt in any time you like, Kurt. Right?
I got my AG1. I'm good.
Right, because I'm blown away. You're blowing my brains away, Jill. Fluent Forms.
Yeah.
It's a pretty competitive space.
Yeah.
You've got Gravity Forms, which most developers, and then you had three or four, you had a form project from the Chocolate Factory, as I call them, Willy Wonka, as I call him. You've got some major competition in this space, which is... Yeah. Good, because it shows there's a market, but this is quite strong competition, you know.
Yeah.
What? Why did you, you know, and I love Fluent Forms. I want to point that out to the tribe. He hasn't paid me. Jules has been very supportive to me, but he's not paying me to say these nice things. I love Fluent Forms, you know, but why did you choose? What was the mindset that for, well, we're build a form plugin, we're entering a really competitive market? Because it was a huge success for you and your team. But what led, I just want to know, what led you to, you know, this is a really hot market, isn't it?
Okay. So I think, even, you know, 5 years or even like 6, 7, 8 years, forms market is the most competitive market in WordPress. Like, there has really great, you know, form builder in the market. If you search for a good, you know, form builder plugin, I'm sure you will get at least, you know, 5 to 7 very good, well-built form plugin. And when we started the project, Fluent Forms, and then we saw that, like, there has a gap in the market. Like, all the form plugins are, like, built, like, 7, 8 years ago. Like, Gravity Forms is a very good plugin. It has a very huge ecosystem, and people use that. We have Contact Form 7 and other, definitely other form plugins.
I would say Content 7 is a great form.
I think the problem was actually, like, in that market, people were not innovating in that market. Like, a product that built in the last 10 years ago, they still work the same way. And
I just want to say something. I shouldn't have said that about Content 7, because I'm basing that on about 9, 10 years ago, when the original owner and developer, I think a German guy, I had a correspondence with him, and it was one of the most bizarre conversations I've ever had with another WordPress professional. I've had some really bizarre conversations, Jewel, as you probably had, but this guy was a real nutter. But I think it's not under the original ownership or anything, so I really shouldn't say that, because I'm saying that. I just want to be fair, Jewel. So, sorry, I interrupted you.
Yeah. So, you know, so then we thought, like, okay, every website need a form. So if we can build a, you know, plugin that's like with all the modern technology, and in that time, like Vue.js, React, those are like getting very popular. And so why not, you know, build a, you know, form plugin that's used all these modern JavaScript based, you know, technologies. So it was like an engineering decision rather than, you know, analysis the market and everything. Maybe if we were like real businessman, like analyze all the market and everything, maybe we would not, you know, build that. But, you know, we build that to just because it was an engineering challenge. Like, let's try it. If we can, you know, get succeed or not. And so that's kind of the background story of Fluent Forms. And then I think that Fluent Forms was our very first product where we learned how to build a product, how to, you know, work with the customer. Like, before that, we were building products for ourselves. And then I realized when, you know, released Fluent Forms that, like, we are not building products for ourselves. We are building product for the people who are really using it.
So you enter, obviously, the WordPress system, you know, you entered with the free form product, and then you built on top of that the premium version. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. So all of our product actually, like, have a, you know, very good free version. Like, I think most of the people even don't need the, you know, premium version. So, and then if someone need a very, you know, advanced feature, then we offer a, you know, pro version. And I think in the, you know, farm market or, you know, in overall or risk category, we are the very first company. Like, we don't use, like, you know, pricing model is not very complex. Like, if you see all the farm market, like, if you buy a product, then you will see, like, tire-based pricing. Like, if you buy the, you know, highest price, you know, package, then you will get all the features. So we made that very simple. Like, everything is in the pro, a single pro version.
Obviously, you're based in Bangladesh. I would imagine that one of the restraints is the lack of talent in America. Well, there isn't a lack of talent, to put it, affordable talent. I get the impression in Bangladesh you have, when it comes to engineering skill and talent, you've got an enormous surplus of excellent people. Would that be correct? Or is it still very hard to find?
I think it was like, you know, true, you know, maybe 10 years ago or 7-8 years ago. Now it's really competitive. Because, you know, we have lots of companies, great companies here. And also, you know, all the companies actually hire remotely. So all the SaaS companies, WordPress companies, even those companies actually hire from, you know, remotely. So it's like, it's not, we don't have that advantages. And we live in a very small city in Bangladesh, actually. It's a very, you know, green city, mountains, tea garden, everything. So
you're selling it to me.
Yeah. So yeah, they are actually like, so we have, you know, few universities. So we actually like, so the city is very small. Like, we are the, you know, the largest software company here. So you can understand like how small the, you know, the city is actually. Right. We have to work in the universities.
So you're trying to get them when they're in university or just leaving. That's how you, right. So you have this success with Fluent Forms, and then the next one, am I correct in saying it was Fluent CRM?
Yeah. So next kind of the, you know, a big project was Fluent CRM.
You've just got a success in a very competitive sector, and now you're, you know, technically, and in marketing, to try and build a WordPress CMS.
It's CRM.
Technically, CRM. One of the most difficult. I've known a few people tried to do it. The only other person that's done a reasonable job of it is Groundhog. But I know a few other people that have attempted to do it. There's one other company that's based in Bangladesh that also done a good job of it, but is to say it is not an easy task would be the understatement of the century. What, you know, most people would be kind of backing off a little bit because, you know, to have a big success in the form space is a great achievement. But you decide to go for it. What was, before we go for our break, what was the business? What led you to decide to build Fluent CRM?
Okay. So that was also a kind of, you know, funny story, actually. Maybe I personally love open source, self-hosted things. That's what I love. And I love WordPress. And so, you know, email marketing is really tough. Managing contact, everything, all the data and everything. And in that time when we started, the WordPress does not have a, you know, proper email marketing solution. So everyone still, I think all 90% of the people actually use the SaaS services like MailChimp, ActiveCampaign, MailerLite, everything. And these companies are really big and they charge, you know, the pricing is really crazy. And then, you know, I thought like why there has no, you know, marketing solution in WordPress. And definitely there was like Groundhog CRM. There was zero-based CRM and later, you know, automatic purchase that. And it's now, I think, Jetpack CRM. And then I saw that like this plugins even does not, you know, get any market. Like in that time, I think Groundhog was like 2000 active installation and Jetpack CRM that time like 5,000 or 6,000. Then I started, you know, digging into those plugins.
Yeah, to be fair to Groundhog, I don't think the free element he ever, yeah. And I'm speaking for the founder and I shouldn't, I think his focus was more on the premier side because yeah. my understanding, he came from Infusionsoft consultation
yeah.
area. So he came from a very different background to where you are coming from.
Yeah, I think exactly. So every product has a philosophy, I think, and Groundhog has their own philosophy to build the product. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then I, you know, started, you know, digging into it and I see that like no plugin actually giving, you know, near experience of like MailChimp or ActiveCampaign or MailerLite. Then actually, you know, we started build that. So the building process was really, you know, bit complicated.
How many people were in the company when you were building Fluent CRM?
I think that then we had like 35, 40 in that time.
How long did it take you to build the minimum viable products?
Yeah. So it was like, you know, that's the story I would like to share. So, you know, we built the first version in like 1 month and we were the very first customer.
Did you sign a month?
Yeah. So, you know, the first version has, you know, does not have anything. It was like the first version is actually like you have to upload a CSV file and then you will type the subject, body and hit send. That's what it would do at the very first time. So that was like, you know, 2-3 weeks. We build that just for our users. So when we, you know, release an update, we, you know, export the customers, upload that. Like that was like really, you know, time consuming, like, you know, export the, you know, CSV and upload. So we just connected to our, you know, our store in the same database. We just, you know, pull those, you know, contact records from the user table and start sending data. And over time, you know, we actually, like, we need this feature. We, in the support ticket, we need to know a customer, like, how many product they purchased, when they purchased, do they have any active license or anything. Then actually, we started building those things. And, like, after 6 months, 8 months, I think, then we thought, like, okay, it's now, you know, we could, you know, replace MailChimp. Can we build a product? Then kind of we rewrote the whole thing. Like we got the idea. Now we want to build that. So that took another like 7-8 months. And then, you know,
So we're talking in total before you had your product to launch to the public. We're talking about 12 to 18 months, maybe.
Yeah, like 18 months. Yeah. So,
that's more reassuring because when you were talking about a month, I was losing my mind. I think we're going to go. I think Jules has just blown my mind away, basically. I feel a total failure. Thanks, Jules. I feel like a total has been failure, just plodding on, don't I, Kurt? I'm going to let Kurt take over the whole of the next half because he's just been sitting here patiently listening to this, but I haven't butted in too much, Kirk, have I?
No, that we'll save that for the second half.
No, I'm just going to let you. I'm going to shut up. We're going to go to our second half and we've got some other really interesting topics to discuss. I've been blown away by this first half. Hopefully you have, listeners and viewers. It's been a great conversation. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. Just want to point out, if you're looking for a great WordPress partner for your larger projects, for your hosting of membership and community-focused websites, why don't you look at becoming a partner with WP Tonic? We've got over 8 years' experience in work in the WordPress community and space. We're totally trusted. You can find out more about becoming a partner by going over to wp-tonic.com/partners. wp-tonic.com/partners. We love to build something special with you. I'm getting better at that, Kirk, aren't I? I think it's getting I'm just an extremely slow learner, but I plod away, don't I, Kirk? Over to you, Kirk.
Well, I put a comment in, but I'm still trying to get over the I made my first exit when I was 16. In America, 16-year-olds, are having a hard time just mowing a neighbor's yard for $10, right? Let alone starting a company and having an exit. So that kind of leads me to, our second question was asking about Bangladesh and recent, dramatic challenges. But I want to kind of morph this question some. I feel like I want to ask the culture dynamic between what we see in the States and what you experience there. For example, I just moved from California to Kansas and I thought I was moving to a technical desert. I thought I was moving where nobody knew anything. Turns out I have the fastest internet I've ever had in my life. Pippin Williamson's my neighbor and I'm friends with a guy that makes custom software and travels back and forth to Bangladesh to run an office over there. I'm far from being in a technical desert, but I still know that it's nothing compared to your environment. Culturally, what's it like there to work in this field? And then we'll get to the challenges of Bangladesh, right? The dramatic challenges.
Yeah. So in Bangladesh, actually, the IT sector actually evolved in last 12 to 15 years. And the good thing is actually in Bangladesh, we have lots of universities. And in those universities, there are lots of very talented people there. And we get thousands of engineers, software engineers every year from those universities. Many of them actually, they just go abroad USA or Europe for higher study, PhD and everything. But many people actually stay here. And, last one decade, we have this culture, actually, the building product or building a software company or building a SaaS, it's grew a lot. And that's why if you will see that many of the, WordPress companies are from our country. So that's a very good thing, from the university and the university and the industry, they have a very good relationship. In my city, we have 4 university in my city and we very closely work with them. So the faculty, they actually, you know, talk with us like what things we should, you know, teach our students. Or maybe they invite me to talk about what the students should focus. So, and that's the thing really that, you know, overall environment that really helped. And many, you know, and in that age, people understood that like, okay, IT programming, these are really good thing. And that's like, it's the future of the career. And it's really easy. If someone is very talented, then they can actually advance their career very quickly. I think that this is the fastest way to advance their career in, you know, all the industry and everything. So that's a very good thing. And many companies actually have like internship program. They hire the fresh graduates and they teach how to, you know, do those things, everything. Like when we hire like fresh graduates, like we have a 3 to 6 month program, like very, good program, like syllabus, like you have to do these things, then this, and within 4 or 5 months, you will be ready for, you know, join as a software engineer here. So that's also very helpful. So in my opinion, like here, the dynamics and relationship between these, you know, institutes and those industries is very good.
Is there a challenge or an obstacle in getting these recent graduates to stay in your area? Like, I used to live in the San Jose area, and there were, you know, a bunch of migrants. I guess that's what we call them, like migrants, right? Like they came in for jobs in San Jose. Yeah. And then there's tech centers in like Germany and Israel and all these. Are your universities farming all of these out? Is it hard to keep them with
I think it's like in the overall, in the whole world, there has like people are moving in, you know, different cities. Like, you know, someone is say in, Europe or USA, they are moving to say like Dubai. Okay. Maybe for tax purpose and anything.
Yeah.
Some people from Asia, they are moving to Europe or Canada or Australia. So yeah, definitely. So we have that, you know, here too. And I think we have, you know, more than usual. And, you know, I think after COVID, many people actually like, you know, moving around, you know, more, you know, frequently.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, I want to move on to question two, and then maybe we can bring Jonathan back into the conversation. But I know this firsthand because one of our team members at Lifter LMS is in Bangladesh. And, you know, she said, hey, there's a bunch of uprisings going on. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to work. And then all of a sudden the internet was gone. And and there was actual concern, like, what's going on? Is she okay? Is this, what are those distractions like over there?
Well, it's up to Jewel. I personally wouldn't use the word uprising.
Okay.
But maybe we've got to ask Jewel that. How do you see what happened? Do you see it as an uprising, or do you see it? Or I'm not even sure. Do you feel totally free to say whatever you want to say?
Yeah, definitely.
Are we just presuming that you have that?
No. So, you know, so we had, so our previous government, actually, they were in the power for a long time, around 16 years.
And I just want, because I know you live here, but my understanding is obviously Bangladesh had a war of independence over 45 in the 70s. It was one of the most brutal wars seen in that part of the world. I think I'm correct in saying that over between 2 and 3 million people died in that war. And Bangladesh is dominated religiously by Islam, but actually the conflict was with Pakistan, and the country got its independence with the support of India, would I mutually, because I think those the Pakistan army was actually defeated by the struggle of the Bangladesh people, but also the Indian army. And the founder, one of the key founders, he became president, but he was assassinated by the Bangladesh army with most of his family. And one of the daughter survivors who lived in Germany, she became the president, she became the head of Bangladesh. And in some ways, it's a bit of a sorry story that somebody who's related to the founder of the state seems to have had to run to India in a helicopter. Am I getting the basics right, or am I making a fool of myself, Julie?
That's kind of your from outside, you know, observation or the country. So the history is actually like after Second World War. Before the Second World War, we were with the UK, the whole India. So that was like one country, and when UK leave, then we had like two countries, India and Pakistan.
Yes, yeah, so I just want to point out that Britain really buggered up the whole of India. But it's got nothing to do with me. I'm English, but I'm not making any excuses for imperialism at its best.
So the problem was actually like, you know, last 16 years, so we had like one party government. So all the other parties, they could not actually, you know, we were like a democratic country. We were a secular country. But the problem is actually there is no other party. So the, you know, the previous government actually like killed most of the, people or gave them, pushed them into the jail and everything. So like 16 years, those people actually, running the country on their own, like laundered billions of dollars to other countries. Then actually like people started the students basically started the protest, and then actually they got fall and they flew to India. Most of the, politicians, all the politicians, many politicians actually left before it happened, actually. And that's kind of the thing. But now it's really, in a very, the government, the new government, they're really good. Our head of state is a Nobel Peace Prize winner.
Yes.
And he is like, I think it can be better. He's the best person to run the country. And he is, trying hard to shape the country. Now people can, freely talk, freely, do anything they want. So, yeah, it's better than, any previous time. So, yeah.
Well, all right. I'm going to go with the next question.
Yeah?
I think Bangladesh, it's one of those countries. I think Vietnam and Cambodia and Rwanda and Bangladesh. There's like half a dozen countries, Kurt, that really need a break, that deserve a decent future. And Bangladesh is one of those countries, because people don't realise the enormous suffering the Bangladesh people went through for their independence. It really was a massacre.
Yes.
Epic proportions, Kirk.
Yep.
The Pakistan army just went wild, and they butchered men, women, children, anybody they came across. They would go into a village and just butcher everybody, Kirk. A level of butchery that is mind-blowing, Kirk. Sorry, that was a but. Sorry about it.
Okay, So I'm going to try and recover this a little bit and say that I think we covered question number three in the first part of the show, but I want to get to the challenges. What's one of the biggest challenges outside of the drama in August? So what's one of the biggest challenges that WP Managed Ninja faces now?
Yeah, so, you know, we have like in our many product. And so, you know, last week I had a meeting with my CMO and he was telling Joel how many product we have now. And, you know, I could not answer, you know, correctly. The problem is actually like, you know, we have like commercial product as well as like, you know, open source product. Like, you know, we were using internally, we just released that, ORG, but, you know, our marketing team and the people are also, you know, managing thing. I think the biggest, you know, when a company, you know, got big, like now we have like 1 million, users who are using our product. And previously, like when you were small, like you can release an update anytime you want because you don't have any users. But now when we want to, you know, release a product, we have to, we cannot, you know, break anything because if something goes wrong, there is like, you know, hundreds of thousands of, you know, websites will be affected. So now, you know, our whole process need changed. Like, you know, these are the process that we have to follow. And another thing, like most of the products are actually our product are a bit complicated, like not like straightforward product. Like Fluent CRM, it's a really super critical, super, you know, complicated product. The challenge is actually now, like, keep it simple. So, you know, building things is easy. Complex way, I think it's really easy. But maintaining those and keeping it simple, that's really complicated. And that's, you know, most of the time, you know, we spend lots of R&D. We do lots of R&D, like how we can keep things simple, how we can, you know, make our code base, you know, maintainable. Like we never abandon any product. So the code we wrote back to 2016, 17, we have to manage those things. So those are kind of the current challenge, like we are working on, like how we are, you know, keep this efficient, you know, even after 5 years. We think like what will happen after 2 years, 3 years, what the product we want to see in this product after 2 years, where I am to see that product. So that's the type of things. Like these are like we did many things. Like we shaped the company in a very good way. Like when I go to like a holidays, say I'm going, say last June I was in like full month I was in Europe. You know, I did not had to, you know, check my email. I did not had to, call my office. They were managing things because we structured that whole company like that. So it's like we have many great leaders. We build those, you know, leaders over the years. So we did that part. Now we are like focusing on how we want to increase the efficiency, how we want to do this, you know, small things where, you know, we will not break things. So that's kind of things like we are really working on. And I hope like soon we'll be more efficient. That's the kind of thing.
Nice. I'm trying to think of all the tools that I actually use, right? So I use the form, the CRM, we use Fluent Support, Fluent Booking. I'm looking forward to trying Fluent Community. But so I ramble off these words, and then the first part where you were talking to Jonathan and your timelines to develop, both of us are just kind of in shock. Yeah. Do you foresee, and maybe you can't answer this publicly, but do you see a roadmap where you continue to make, like, knock it out of the park products, or do you see more of a maintain and stay stable and stick to these core products?
Yeah, so we actually, so here the W manager, our structure is a bit different than like other companies. So when we, you know, build a product, we make sure that we have a team. So like say Fluent Forms. So Fluent Forms, they have a dedicated team. So those people only work on Fluent Forms. So we have a team for Fluent CRM. So they have a separate people from support, marketing, developer, everyone. Mm. So kind of like, you can say like development engineer, we are like building, you know, multiple startups inside here. So we treat our e-product as a startup. So like even, you know, for Frame CRM or our big products, we actually like maintain our, you know, finance and, you know, book everything differently. Like we want to know like how much, you know, this product cost and how was the growth and everything. So each product, so this team actually kind of managing things. So, you know, we have like now, I think we have 120 people, more or less. I am not sure the exact number, but kind of on 120. And so those people actually, like they are distributed in different teams. And when they work in that team, so they are the kind of the startup. And that's why, you know, we could manage all this product. And so to answer your question, like when we will actually like build a new product, we make sure that we have a team for that. So that's how it works. And yeah, definitely I look forward to, you know, release, you know, few exciting product this year. You know, community, one of them. We are also doing some R&D and development. Another onto product. So yeah, definitely our portfolio will, you know, definitely it will enrage.
Cool. Thank you for that. Jonathan, over to you.
Yeah, I want to, and it's not a day on the job because I can see there's a couple of your plugins, like the table plugin that's at the start of your journey. And then you have a social media plugin, I think. But the rest of them, I kind of follow the logic. I kind of follow the form. The form kind of leads into a CRM. The scheduling links, having a booking and scheduling. It's utilitarian kind of plugins. It's not the real flashy stuff, but it's the stuff that a lot of small businesses really need. Yep. And when it comes to the community plugin, I'm not sure that really fits into the mold, if you understand what I mean. I'm not having a go at it in any way, but can you understand where I'm coming from? I'm not too sure. Because the others, they're kind of, you need a form for your website. If the form works with your CRM, that's great.
Yep.
You need, most businesses need a calendar scheduling to work with their CRM and their forms. It kind of, in my mind, it kind of all links. I'm not sure about a community, even though it's a great thing, there's definitely a need for it. Can you understand where I'm coming from?
I understand. Yeah. So, you know, we have actually, you know, many tools, internal tools that we have. Even we have our Acer tool that we built, that we use in our company. We have accounting software that we built, you know, a few years back that we use. But, you know, these plugins, we never, you know, release that. And the community plugin is actually like one of our internal tool that we are using for last 1 year. And so basically how we work, that product was needed for us. So, you know, all our company communication, actually, meeting notes and everything, we basically use the community plugin. So we call it lounge or office lounge. So all the people actually go there. So all their, you know, HR history and everything there, what they're working on. And all the meeting notes, we track in that community. So when I actually go to our lounge, then I can see everything that what is going on in the office and everything. So, you know, we were using like 1 year, and then in that, then our internal team actually developing and everything. Then we thought like, okay, can we, you know, make a product? So there is two things. If we make a product, we can, you know, improve it over time and we will be one of the biggest customer, definitely. And because when we will have this feature, our internal launch will be improved, our workflow will be improved. And then in WordPress, if you see that, there has no good community plugin. So like I searched that, like say Circle, that's a great solution for SaaS solution. But, you know, our the tools we use in our office, most of them are actually either open source or WordPress plugin. And we thought like, okay, we already have that solution that we are using. Maybe we can try to, you know, be, make a, you know, build a product. And this was the, actually, we installed that like six, seven months ago when we launched Fluent Boards. So that's also a, you know, project management tool we launched. And I think now 2,000, you know, businesses using that product. And so when we wanted to launch Fluent Boards, we had a beta community and we installed the, you know, Fluent community plugin in that, you know, in a subdomain of our site and invited some beta users. And they started using it and they asked like, what plugin is this? I want this, something like that.
Well, one of your plugins that we've adapted, I just want to give a quick story. Well, maybe I'll do it after because Kurt's got to go. So, Kurt, I'm butting in, but you've got to go in 5 minutes.
I do.
So I've got a really nice story to tell the community about one of Jules' products. So, but do you want to move on? Sorry, I butted in.
No. I'm going to take off and go run the call with Lifter and have a great day.
All right, then. I just want to, like, we are using your support plugin at WP Tonic. I was using Freshdesk and
yep.
I was using the free and I was use, and then I was looking at using the pay product. And the main reason I had to go to the paid product was enabled to add a custom field because with the free product, we couldn't take people's URLs, basically. It was a pain in the arse. But the paid version is okay, but I had more people come on the team. And then if you got more than two or three people, it gets really expensive really quick.
Yeah.
And then you offered support to me and you're very gracious on the terms. And it's just a fantastic product and yep. It does the job and it works really well. So because these SaaS products, if they tend to be okay price-wise when you've got one person, but it's when you get four, five, six people,
yep.
They get really yep. expensive really quickly, yep. don't they?
Yeah, definitely. You know, my philosophy is actually especially for the WordPress users, like you are managing everything in your WordPress. You are running your shop in your WordPress. You're running your, say, blog or, you know, membership or, you know, your coaching program. So the data is actually in WordPress. If you have everything in WordPress, like for your support, for marketing, your forms, everything, then you can manage everything in the single place. You don't have to switch different tabs, okay? You can manage everything from a single point of view. So, and another thing actually really helped us to build this product, that is we are the, you know, one of the biggest customer of our own product. Like I think for the support, we are one of the biggest, users, one of the biggest users for the support because we handle like hundreds of tickets every day. So we understand where we have to optimize it because think about it. Like if I optimize like few seconds per ticket or per response, end of the month, we will, you know, save, you know, hundreds of hours, from that seconds. So we optimize all those products, something like that. Friend CRM, same. We manage, you know, 100,000 subscribers, inference CRM. So we know where we have to optimize. We know which features we need, and we can, you know, push those features. And so that's also, you know, a very good way to build product. Like if you are one of the, you know, user of your product, then, you know, then it's easier to build these features, easier to optimize these things for the community.
So in this movie, have you got another 10 minutes or do you need to be off?
It's okay, yeah.
So let's go through the last couple of questions. So AI, you know, everything's AI, isn't it? Are there any particular AI tools that you or your team utilize that you
definitely
really like?
Yeah, definitely. We use, you know, we experiment, use lots of, you know, AI products actually. Like I personally use, you know, GitHub Copilot. That's a very good tool for coding, reviewing and everything. So definitely use that. We also use a, you know, self-hosted client. So we actually connect with, you know, OpenAI, Google Gemini, and, you know, Cloudy, Anthropic Cloudy. So all those model, and those are, we give access to all of our employees. So anyone can actually log into our portal. So I call it like we have a lounge. So they can go to the lounge and they can, you know, interact with the AI, with anything. So that also, you know, we encourage our, you know, employees, like, you know, to try it, to see where this can actually help us. Like in our support system, we implemented the AI and see where they can actually help us. We are doing some R&D, like, you know, giving the information about our plugin, documentation, article, and everything, and see how that perform. If that that can help us with our support and everything. AI definitely is a, you know, new technology, and we want to understand that.
Do you think in general, I think WordPress is, obviously there's some of the work that the Cadence team, Ben and his team are doing, which we're great supporters of Cadence, and Ben and his team he's a delightful individual like yourself. Like me, I can rub up a few people, but you and Ben, you seem to have the ability of being liked by most people. I'm okay, don't I? I'm a toothless tiger. Get back to it, Jonathan. So they're doing some interesting things with AI, but in general, it's not being that active, in my opinion, in WordPress. But I'm not sure, because there's been some utilization of AI in some SEO plugins. Do you think it just, is there something about the plugin WordPress that makes it easier for SaaS companies to integrate it? Or do you think a lot of these SaaS companies, when you actually look at what they're doing with AI, a lot of it is just smoke and mirrors, when you really, you know, it's not that impressive what they're doing. I don't know, because there's a core of products that I'm using that made a big difference to me. But I also see a lot of SaaS companies saying we've added this AI functionality. When you really look at it, you just go, Can you understand where I'm coming from? What's your reaction to what I've just outlined?
I mean, you know, so you know, when, you know, AI, this wave started, you know, my team asked me, like, should we,
I'm sorry to interrupt again, because the reason I'm asking this question, because especially with your Fluent CRM and your support plugin and a couple of your key plugins, you can actually see where AI would be really useful.
Yeah.
I would have thought.
Definitely. So
I think you've probably been looking at this quite seriously. So that's why I'm asking you the question.
Yeah. So exactly. So, my team members, they were asking me like, should we integrate AI with our product? Then my question was like, do you need a feature where AI can help? So, you know, many companies actually like, implementing AI just because they want to, tag it like it's AI powered. So like in frame support, we had an use case, like we want to, generate the answer for a question with that context, or someone actually write something, they want to, improve their writing in that support system. So, we implement that. That's because it was needed. So even when we will see a use case that, okay, in that feature, we can improve the, overall, quality of that feature or save time of that user, then we will actually use that. So, support was a great use case for the AI. So, we implement that, we use that, we are optimizing in every cycle, something like that. If we see, say, for Fluent CRM, if we see that, AI can help for a feature, it will save time, we'll definitely implement that. So, my mind is actually open about AI. And I think companies also, should do that. Like, say, you talked about, like, Cadence AI Builder. Definitely, I think it's a good feature. Like, you can just, prompt, you can actually building something, you are, building a section, it's saving time. Definitely a good thing. So, when I build product or build a feature, two things actually I have in my mind, and that is, does it saving time for the people? If I can save time with a product or with a feature, it's a good thing. We should go for that. Second thing is actually, does it, save money for our customers or make money? So this is two parameter. Like, I think every product all work in that way. Does it, save time or make money? So that's the two thing, like when we, build product, that we actually focus on. And there is another category that I'm not talking, that is something like, it can be entertainment, that art, something that does not actually fill up in that two category. So yeah, definitely something like, I'm open about AI. I use that every day. I encourage my team member to use that, to explore those things and where we can, use that. It's not like I don't encourage them like just to, tag a product with AI powered, to integrate that, that should not be like that. It should be like solve a real problem.
Yeah. Thanks for that. So the last question, if you had your own time machine, like H.G. Wells or the Doctor Who, I don't know if they have Doctor Who in Bangladesh, I'd imagine you watch it. And you could go back and maybe give yourself I'm not sure what advice, because I think you've done quite well for yourself, really. I don't know what advice you would give to yourself. Is there anything that comes to mind that you wish you knew at the beginning of your career? Don't come on this podcast.
No. So I think, whatever happens, I think, It happens for a good reason, I think. And I think all the time I'm really happy with my life, even in my bad time, in my good time. And so what I realized, from 2010 to 2020, I was like really workaholic. I was working too much. I still work too much. I still work hard. But like, I did not, give myself enough time for other things. Some kind of, say, for family, for travel and everything. So now I try to do that. sometimes I feel like maybe I could do this, like traveling or, you know, do some social work or, you know, giving time to my family and everything. I could do more in that previous time. But, you know, overall, you know, I'm happy with my life and what we are doing, you know, it inspires me. It really is not about the money that, you know, the business making. It really, like, I enjoy what I do. I really, when I see a, you know, good comment about our product, when I get a good review or when I, you know, talk with the customers in different, you know, event, you know, art camps and everything, I love those time.
Well, I think you and your company have got excellent reputation. You can't please everybody.
Definitely. So that I know.
It's impossible, like, but I think you and your team have done the best you can. And they're good products. You've been generous to me and I've tried to show it back. And I think you and your company are good examples of success and the entrepreneur experience in WordPress. You know, I wish you and your company the best. What's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to, Jill?
Yeah, so the best way is you can visit our website, WM Ninja. You can just search for WM Ninja. You will find all of our products. You can also, you know, follow me on Facebook or, you know, Twitter, LinkedIn. I am very active in Facebook, especially in our group and different other groups. So, yeah, I love to, you know, talk with people, learn from them, what they
think. Well, you didn't make yourself accessible. You do make yourself, I don't know how you do it, but you do make yourself very, it's a sign of a well-run business because you do have the ability to do that, which I think is amazing. Hopefully you'll come back on the show sometime in the new year.
Definitely.
I've really enjoyed the discussion. I think we've covered some really interesting stuff in this chat.
Yep.
We're going to close the show down now. We'll be back next week with another. We've got some fantastic guests coming on the show in October, folks, and in November. We've got a special show tomorrow with Spencer Foreman and maybe a couple other special guests. I don't know. We will be back next week, folks. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.